Quarter to eight spot on. You are listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. I was talking earlier on about the story coming out of India with regards to hostilities from Indian citizens towards Africans who are living in India, and these hostilities sometimes resulting in violence, and more so Nigerians who reside in India. Now, to talk more about this, we are joined on the line by Ramposh Raina, live from New Delhi. Ramposh is a journalist for the At Foreign Policy News Network and was previously with the New York Times and AFP. Ramposh, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk on this. So just to clarify, I contribute to foreign policy. I'm not a staff writer with them. But of course, this is an article that I had written, and perhaps that's what you're referring to.
Yes, thank you so much for that clarification. Now, first up, I mean, many of our listeners who are of Indian origin but are living in South Africa now for five or six generations, mm-hmm. they may be surprised to hear about Africans living and studying in India. Is this a fairly new phenomenon?
It actually isn't, because, you know, people who've been familiar with the history of Indian and African ties would also be aware, and, you know, since you referred to people who've been living in South Africa for four generations, they would be aware that there have been fairly regular exchanges, especially when it comes to scholars and when it comes to students from Africa coming and studying in India. So. You know, we don't have any official numbers in India here from the government to specifically say how many such students are in India at the moment, but it is a sizable population, and the African Student Association here estimates that at the moment there are about 25,000 odd students from Africa studying in India. So it's not, I mean, it's just to clarify the point, it's not something that's new.
Is it in certain areas more so than others, perhaps Mumbai, Delhi, the biggest cities?
Well, that wouldn't be true, because the cost of living in the bigger cities is actually higher. So from what I learned during my reporting for the piece is that, you know, a lot of these students come to India to study in some of the private universities, which are relatively new. You know, they've mushroomed in the past 5 years or perhaps the last 10 years. And these are not in the main cities. These are universities that have mushroomed on the outskirts for various reasons. And that's where a lot of these students go and study.
Mm-hmm. Now, this violence that you write about in your piece, what's the root cause of it? What's given rise to this violence against African students who are residing in India?
You know, I would like to sort of say one thing at the outset, that, you know, this is anecdotal evidence. So we unfortunately don't have a tracking system of violence. So for me to say that whether there's an escalation, because I make that point very clear in my piece as well, that, you know, I don't have any statistics on this kind of violence in India, to track this kind of violence in India, so I can't really say with a certainty that numbers have gone up, but yes, it seems so. And it's very difficult to put a finger on what really happened this time, or, you know, the number of episodes that I quote in my piece, that if there is one factor that has contributed to it. So it's, you know, the crux basically is that there's a lack of interaction between the two communities, which leads to a lot of misunderstanding. Indians perhaps don't understand the African culture well enough, and Africans perhaps don't understand the Indian culture well enough. So because there is no reciprocity, there is a lot of misunderstanding. So I think that's one of the bridges that we need to cross. We as in, you know, Indians and Africans at the street level, you know, at the diplomatic level, there's a lot being done, but at the street level, there's very little interaction. So I think that's one of the reasons why there's a lack of understanding and appreciation of each other's culture, so which leads to misunderstanding. And, you know, it doesn't take too much time for sort of a situation to flare up, and the reason could be any. And it is not only specific to India. I mean, if you look at any other part of the world, there's a scenario whereby there is an escalation of violence, right? So one doesn't know what the reason is, but perhaps in my understanding, the interaction between the two communities should definitely increase.
I suppose in the case of Nigerians specifically, there's that added dimension where there's a perception, and this is not something that I would assume is unique to India. We have a similar challenge in South Africa where many people have this perception that Nigerians are either involved in selling of drugs or in some sort of social menace or the other. Is that a challenge in India as well?
That's true. I mean, because, again, of course there have been several cases. Of course there's a reason why that perception exists. So that adds to the perception problem in general about Africans. So clearly, you know, people assume that every Nigerian perhaps, well, may not be every, but, you know, Nigerians are largely involved in crime, so they want to stay away from them. And there's no clear understanding or appreciation of, you know, the different countries that you have within Africa. So for an average Indian, when they see an African, they obviously cannot instantly understand or know which part of Africa they're from. So there's an assumption that, okay, every African is involved in some sort of, you know, crime perhaps, or there's a misperception. And so, which is in part because of the crime that has been related to Nigerians, and which is also in part because, you know, there's a lack of understanding that not everybody from Africa is from Nigeria. So, you know, it's like a mix of factors that basically is lending itself into this larger problem, which has to be resolved gradually through interaction and through better understanding between the two communities.
You've written this particular piece, but in terms of the broader media, is it something that they focus on from time to time, trying to educate people with regards to these cultural differences that sometimes become a hindrance, as you've so eloquently articulated?
I'd say that, you know, the media, the national media in India is more cognizant of this issue now. So there's been a lot of writing about it. But having said that, I think the job of the media is only to inform, but how much of that can be imbibed or absorbed by a common man is something very different, something that, you know, the civil society at large can do. It is not something that only the media can contribute to, because as you can appreciate that, you know, India is such a large country and it comes with its own sets of challenges and problems. So this kind of violence doesn't go unnoticed. It is being noticed now by the national media and it's being reported about more. So there is also more awareness, I'd say, about this issue. And also, you know, just to sort of make a point that whenever any sort of crime takes place, I mean, in India we've seen the example of crimes against women, and suddenly there's a perception that India is unsafe for women, which may or may not be true, because, I mean, I say it's not true because reporting of crime is one thing, but the actual crime rate is another thing. Similarly, when we talk about incidents of violence against Africans, the reporting of such crimes may be different than the actual crime. So suddenly, because there's a lot of spotlight on this, it doesn't mean that we've Indians have suddenly become all intolerant. That is not the point of writing this essay. That was not the point of the larger debate. The point is to bring attention to the problem. And I think that is being done by the national media as well.
What about government? What has their reaction been?
See, again, you know, I cannot comment on what the government is doing because I'm not a spokesperson for the government. I think the government, a government spokesperson is better suited to sort of answer that question. But yes, I mean, as I mentioned in my piece as well, after these incidents sort of upsetted the African diplomats in New Delhi, I think they tried to reach out to them. They tried to reassure them that things would be taken care of. So what happened after that and how much of that translated into action, I mean, I wouldn't be able to comment on that.
All right, Sampoosh, thank you so much for your time this morning and for giving us your time. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to me.
Have a great day. Go well.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That was Sampoosh Rainai, journalist from New Delhi, talking to us live from India this morning about violence against African people in India, the perceptions that go with it, and how it's actually resulting in complications there for Africans who work in, or study especially in India. 25,000 of them approximately, although there are no official stats. It's now 5 minutes to 8. You are listening to Sabah Muslim.